Hey, the Jay Thomas Show podcast is coming up, and it's brought to you by Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables, too. And they're not just hot tubs and saunas and pools, but man, if you want some really top-of-the-line pool tables, foosball tables, Vinny's with me. You have all that plus more in your stores.
We do, and it's kind of a fun product, but it is wellness. It's bringing the family together and friends together. We carry Olhausen, which is made here in the USA, Brunswick, a name that's been around for almost 200 years. Yeah. And with that, not only can you get a custom-made pool table for your home, for your basement, for your game room, but also matching shuffleboard tables, foosball tables, air hockey, bubble hockey, video games, anything that you could imagine for a game room or entertainment area in your home, we carry and we have in stock. And you can come in and, like I said, design your own game room.
Yeah, you have beautiful. I mean, it's literally furniture. The brands that you have, they're not cheap. They're not cheesy looking. They are beautiful works of art, and you can customize yours. Get into a Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2 store and check out the unbelievable selection of gaming that Vinny has. Where are you located, buddy?
West Fargo, Bismarck, Grand Forks.
There you go. Hot Spring Spas and Pool Tables 2. All right, now, the Jay Thomas Show podcast. Jay Thomas Show, good afternoon. Welcome to the program. A little on the tired side, but we'll have fun this afternoon. I've got a few things we need to talk about. Imagine that. I think you can figure it out.
Yeah, you, what do they call it? You did yeoman's work last night. Yeah. Boy, what a long day.
You got to do that once in a while, man.
Yeah.
That's what makes you winners. It's Wednesday. Don Kinsler in at 2:35. We'll recap last night's, what you thought of the election. Talk about that. I know there's a lot of, people like, oh, my God, it's over for Fargo. But we'll get your take on it. And I'm going to address, oh, my God, I don't want to, but I have to. I have to. So during the coverage here on WDAY last night, it was myself and a big thank you to Tim Flackel. He was up at 3:30 in the morning because he had to fly in from Indiana to be here to do our coverage. And we went from 7 to midnight last night. But at some point last night during the coverage, we're just trying to fill time as the numbers are coming in. And Wysocki came in here. I was doing weather cut-ins. Boy, that, by the way, turned out to be a dud. Thank God, at least for us. We'll discuss that, too. So we're taking calls and emails. And I made an off-head comment about, the whole Spencer Pratt thing. I've been following it. And that dump of 24,000, votes came in, and it's mathematically impossible for him not to get one vote or a bass anyway. And I was just, like I said, filling time, being a smart ass. And this Paul calls into the show. Well, as soon as I hear his voice, I know who it is. It's Paul Meyer, a former Fargo school board member. Him and I have gone rounds in the past.
Oh.
Now he wants to get into an argument to tell me that this is not true. It's 100% false, and you should know better. You're media. I'm like, I'm not media. I'm a talk show hosting opinions. Anyway, and he wants to tell me 20% of this, 20% of LA's is Republicans, the rest is Democrats, just on and on and on. It's false. And I'm like, you know what, dude, I'm not getting into this with you right now. We're doing local coverage. I don't have time for this. I can address it tomorrow on the show. He just won't let it go. So I'm like, I'm done. I said, I'll address it tomorrow. Hang up on him. I'm not. We got local stuff going on. Numbers are rolling in. So. And then he starts emailing me. I'm ignoring him. I'm not responding back. And I look during a break. And it's like, okay, yeah, it's all been verified false. There was whatever. And I read this whole long article, multiple articles. And I got back on here. So yeah, during the break, I looked, and yeah, Paul's right. It's false. But anyway, it was an off-handed comment. Just like I said, trying to fill time. So I get up this morning, and I've got umpteen million messages from people. So now he decides to go on his social media page. He can do whatever he wants at his social media page. And he decides he's going to go on there and, start trolling me and throwing me under the bus, saying I was outraged and he sucked me into an argument and this and that. It's like, number one, Paul, if you're listening, you didn't suck me into an argument because I hung up on you. I was done with it. So that's not sucking me in. All right. And number two, I was far from outraged. See, that's the problem. So you folks, if anybody disagrees with you, then it's automatically, well, they're outraged. You don't want to see outrage, buddy. I wasn't outraged. Didn't have time for that argument last night. But if you want to go on social media and do your thing, fine, do it, whatever. But you know what? Maybe you should be more concerned about running your damn business, okay? Give me a break.
Does Paul know Scott Pelley? I was just wondering.
It's outstanding, dude. You are on. You evidently were not.
I got
up
a full night's sleep.
No, you were up all night because you were texting me back and forth through all the coverage, man.
Well, listen, I am somewhat of a wonk. I don't let it consume my life anymore.
Thank you. Thank you.
I subscribe to the Garage Party recuperation plan, and
you know what? And you know, for the Garage Party, you do have to be a registered member.
Yes,
the Garage Party, man.
Yes,
and there are yearly dues.
But you know, we didn't lose.
Got to pay for that beer.
Because I think I would have noticed with a CPAP if we had lost power. But I did get up and watch the storm just kind of blow by about 1:37. My wife's like, yeah, I think the worst is gone. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm going to back to bed.
All right, 701-293-9000. If that's Paul calling in right now, I'm not getting into it with him right now. I'll do it later. He'll call me later on. I got more important things to do than me trolled. Oh, Pete and Fargo. Okay, Scott Hannon's in here, too. I got to get Scott's take on what happened last night. Pete, Jay Thomas Show.
Hey, Jay, I heard him call in, and I knew who it was right away, yeah. Too. And I know he subscribes to the station across the town there.
Yeah.
And I saw his post this morning for whatever reason. And it's funny because he wants to play the big man on campus is what he was doing.
Yeah, exactly.
And all these people are, oh, yeah, Jay is terrible. That means you've never listened to the show in its entirety for one day.
Or they listen to it and they don't want to admit it and they just don't like my take on life.
And why is the worst thing to liberals a conservative that's willing to hear their side? Because you heard his side, mm-hmm. And then you came back and said he was right. Why is that so objectionable that they're supposed to be inclusive,
no.
But they will not include us.
They won't.
They will not allow us to have a word.
And on top of that, did you see how many times I was outraged? If I was outraged, believe me, you'd know I was outraged. I'm just like, I'm doing local coverage right now, Tim and I don't have time to get into this. You know,
and you cut off people you like. You used to cut off property tax, John.
Mm-hmm. Got to move on.
Get over yourself.
Exactly. So, go cry to KFGO. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I mean, give me a damn break.
Joel will love to give you a hug.
Hug and give you a stuffed unicorn. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it, man. All right, 12 minutes after Don Kinsler comes up. Scott Hannon, how you doing? What are you laughing at over there, pal?
Oh.
This is what happens on this side of the building at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, I mean, this is the state of the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. Paul Meyer's lifetime victory is thinking he sucked you into some argument when he doesn't realize that he's the dolt here.
Yeah.
And by the way, you want to defend LA under Karen Bass? That describes the Democratic Party. And yeah. it was corrupt from day one when they sent babies ballots.
I said that last night. I said the whole thing out there is nothing but a mess. It's a nightmare. It's corruption.
Exactly.
And now I got to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Yeah. But by the way, he was at Josh Boucher's victory party. Big surprise there. I saw him there.
I was shocked he was listening to us.
Yeah.
I think he was out trolling is what he was doing. Hey, so I got to get your – I mean, everybody's freaking out. Oh, my God, we've gone to Minneapolis. It's all over. And, folks, we're going to dive into this deeper this afternoon, but Scott had a couple minutes here. I know you had Nikki Gullickson on today. A lot of people concerned about Nikki, that she's liberal. You had her on your program. I walked in, congratulated her, and said, you know, hey, congratulations, you won. Scott, what did you take away after talking to Nikki Gullickson, who's now a Fargo City Commissioner?
Yeah, thinking that I was wrong in characterizing her as a liberal is one of the takeaways I got. I mean, I didn't know she comes from a Republican family.
Oh, really?
Her dad is at 83 years old, still very active.
Oh,
down in the elected office in Wahpeton.
Okay,
And so just kind of grew up as you do this, you get back, and now she's going to stay on the school board for 2 years.
Okay,
and be on the Fargo City Commission.
Is there a concern there? Because people were concerned about that. I'm not concerned, and I'll tell you why. because out in West Fargo, Amy Zundel sits on her commission. I think she's in her second year now. And then she took the job as the executive director for West Fargo Parks, which is a big job.
Or Jim Jonas, too.
Yeah, and there was concern about that, but she's done fantastic handling both jobs.
And Jim Jonas is on the commission and also a school board member of West Fargo. Yeah. I just think that's the voters decide if they think you have too many jobs. Yeah. But I think the following, after talking to Nikki and also Chad Peterson, the two new members of the Fargo City Commission, last night, I, like a lot of folks, said, oh, boy, we're tipping the balance. We're going to become a Minneapolis. And really, we didn't tip the balance. If you assume Nikki's a liberal, right, it's still 3-2. But it's two new members.
Yep.
And so you get a little bit of a reboot there. After talking to her, I pressed on, do we need more police officers? Do we need to, stop the needle exchange program? Are we spending too much money? And her answers were very pragmatic. I don't think they were mega conservative.
Okay.
But, her thing on needles, for instance.
What was it?
I'm told, and I want to get more information on this, and I love when somebody says that, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to come in and say I know everything. I'm going to find out more. But she says, I'm told that, if we don't do this, that disease will spread and there'll be more costs because these people are indigent and it would end up, on the... But she said, I don't know if that's true or not. And by the way, on the safety thing, completely agree. We got to figure that out. They can't be everywhere. So
good.
Somewhat, I mean, in my mind, answered that good. I think she also said on the way out, she said, look, you've got an important audience. I want to know what they think, what they want. Please stay in contact with us. Please have me on the show. I'm sure she'll do the same for you.
Yeah,
I mean, definitely. Our audiences are engaged.
They are.
These people are very smart, very savvy, and it is a wise move for them to pay attention. I think last night, the Republican Party apparatus, got its butt handed to them on this mayor's race.
They always do, man.
Well, this was a big one, because if you look at, again, Michelle Turnberg, to me, is Spencer Pratt, Donald Trump, bold, okay?
Yep.
And she ran a great campaign. The messaging was great. She had people very faithful behind her.
Yep.
But she didn't have the benefit of a Republican Party that should be organized and deploy blocking and tackling simple get-out-the-vote stuff.
Yeah.
Josh Boget started in January.
The machine was out.
He had six figures raised in a blink. Don't doubt it came from Heidi Heitkamp and other kinds of liberal groups. But all they did was go out and identify people that, and here's how they do this, but it was amazing. They can look at a Facebook post.
Somebody told me this whole thing. It's crazy.
Yeah, and if they have a Facebook post that says Donald Trump's nuts and Joe Biden's, the bomb, they will then go to you and say, hey, are you voting, and get you to vote. So they've identified a left voter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he talks a lot about getting younger people involved. Well, he's finding liberals that are young, and he's counting them in his camp, and they continue to... It's Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk deployed a system where you find voters that don't usually vote.
That's right.
And you get them to vote in your buddy system.
Mm-hmm.
You get somebody to adopt 10 voters, 30 voters, whatever, and hey, did you vote yet? Any questions I can answer?
Yeah.
It's again, a get-out-the-vote effort. So I think we just got to get in the game. Republicans, conservatives have to have basic blocking and tackling, because in my view, Jay, what happened last night is the Democrats said, look, we are toast everywhere. We don't have one of the congressional seats. The last candidate that was a political name is Heidi Heitkamp. She lost by 11 points.
Yeah.
She got trounced.
They saw this big seat, because it is a big seat. Yeah, it's a mayor seat, but it's the biggest city in the state of North Dakota.
100%. Yep. And they said, you know what? We're toast everywhere else. Let's win one. Let's win one. Let's put all our eggs in that basket, and let's get this guy elected. And they did.
And they would not have dropped that kind of money on a small state, technically in the big scheme of things, a small town mayoral race, unless they knew we can win this thing. And they do. I've said this for how many years on this program? The Democratic Party, liberal, whatever, they know how to play politics better than anybody else. They know how to go out there, hunt. They know how to fight.
They
and
do.
That's what happened.
And Trump has been the first Republican that actually was able to play the game in a real way and do what they do.
Yeah.
Facebook, all the other tools they use. But we in North Dakota, the Democrats have tried that and lose. They finally narrowed their scope, right?
Yeah.
We can't win a statewide office. We can't win a congressional delegation. We're a super minority in the legislature. Let's win one.
And they won one here also, because they know, and you can see this by looking at the wins last night. You take Josh, and then you take Michelle and Pepcorn, and you could see that it shows you, at least the people that went out and voted, that it's three quarters liberal Democrat, and they know we got a big audience, and we know how to tap them.
They got their vote out.
That's right.
I don't think it means that there's a Democrat supermajority in Fargo at all. I don't. Mm-hmm. I think it's they deployed a very good system, and all this is to me is a message to Republicans and the Republican Party, which is fractured right now, because the party apparatus, the leadership of the Republican Party right now, I'm talking about district chairs, I'm talking about the chairman, they're worthless.
Yeah.
For lack of a better term, they're worthless.
You're right.
Democrats said, we can't win anywhere else. Let's win in Fargo. They deployed a good, all we got to do is get in the game. I will say this. Michelle Turnberg, I think, is now, this was her 2020. Okay, this was like Donald Trump losing in 2020. Joe Biden won. Boshe is Biden. Mm-hmm. Okay, Michelle is Trump. What did Donald Trump do after 2020? Licked his wounds for
a day or two
and went out and got a policy together, found out how to be better, and won big in 2024. Yeah. So I think the following. Turnberg is now the head of a movement in Fargo. Right? In my mind, common sense people would say, give out needles, boof kids?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, we're all like, this is crazy.
This is nuts. So she's now the leader of the common sense movement.
Okay.
I believe Chad Peterson will be a warrior.
He was very
good on the Cass County Commission, and he's very pragmatic. He doesn't go in with a red MAGA hat on. He just presents common sense in numbers.
I was going to say, he thinks things through. He works across the aisle. He's a very smart man.
I agree. And then you take Nikki Gullickson, who again said all the right things today, is practical. Maybe we don't have a minority anymore. Maybe we're going to, and John Strand actually can vote the right way when you get him to pay attention to a particular issue.
Well,
he's liberal.
He's got to focus.
Yeah. He's got to pay attention. Yeah. He's got to be part of that. But, I mean, Josh Boshe could be the most ineffective mayor in the history of Fargo.
Or he could take us all by surprise and keep his politics out of it, and
he was at Dempsey's last night dancing with drag queens.
I saw the videos all over social media.
By the way, this is a good question for you.
Yeah,
I don't have my phone with me, but evidently the song he was singing,
Ronnie knows. Ronnie, what was the song?
Pink. Chapel Roan. It's Pink Pony Club. It's supposed to be. I'm told. An LGBTQ anthem.
Okay, I want to know if that's true or not. And by the way, he's gay. I don't care that he's gay.
Yeah, I don't care.
I know some people are saying, the Fargo just elected a gay Democrat. You know, I don't. He didn't win because he's gay.
No, he didn't.
I think it brings a constituency. That's why he was in the legislature. But I mean, of 10,000 votes, what percent do you think were gay or voted for him because he was gay? 1,000, maybe?
Maybe, if even that.
Yeah.
He didn't use that in the campaign. He didn't.
I will say this. If you and Ronnie tell me that is some kind of LGBTQ anthem, not a good look. And I'm going to be a reasonable mayor. I just think. And he did. He got answered a question. He got asked a question.
About the flag.
Yeah, remember that?
I do.
Yeah, a caller called him and said, "Hey, I like the U.S. flag and the North Dakota flag. I don't think we need any other flags.
We don't."
And he said, "Well, I'm for that." And he said, "Well, then no rainbow flags?" And Josh said, kind of hemmed and hawed, but no.
Yep.
So, again, he's on record for a few of these things, and I think it would be a mistake for him to lead with that. But Democrats have a hard time not leading with that. So we'll see. But, I don't think it's as bad as when I put my head on the pillow last night at 2, and then that stupid storm came in, and I woke up again.
Well, wait, we got a storm? No, I'm kidding. We lucked out again.
But the rain was, the wind kicked up for a while.
Yeah,
but
about 10 minutes. It was about, my trees were bedding. I think it was about 6. I think we had gusts like right around 60, a little bit above.
I talked to Dean. He said this sucker was barreling down on Fargo and then last minute just veered off.
It happens all the time.
I swear
we have a Tupperware bowl over
the
us.
The hex.
I swear we do.
That's a good thing, though. We shouldn't complain about it.
No, exactly. Yeah. But,
I want to say one other thing, Jay, about last night.
Sure.
And again, Democrat mayor of Fargo, you're right. A new member of the Fargo City Commission, thought to be liberal because of her time on Fargo School Board. I'm pumping the brakes on that thought.
Okay.
Trust but verify. Chad Peterson is going to be a great addition. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a dog on bone on the budget. So maybe the commission isn't so bad.
But it ain't over yet, because we'll see what happens with the ward system.
Yeah,
if that happens, that could throw a monkey wrench, because that puts two more commissioners.
I got to understand that better, because, maybe it's easier for Republicans to win ward by ward. You can focus on that. I don't know. I got to think more about that. But what I wanted to say is statewide, the Republicans kicked butt.
Statewide they did.
Kelly Armstrong.
I had a great record.
Endorsed 20 candidates and campaigned for them. 19 of the 21.
Yeah, who's the one that didn't?
Grand Forks.
Ah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. and forget his name up there. Can't remember. One Grand Forks candidate.
It's a pretty good record.
Yeah, exactly. You know what else?
What?
There is a faction of the Republican Party that is Rick Becker-ish.
Now, yeah.
Rick Becker was on a legislative ballot last night, lost. Not only did a lot of their candidates lose in the challenges where they were going, like West Fargo is a good example. The race with Jonas, Jody Lee, and Austin Schauer. They had candidates that were, you know, active against them. The governor cleared the mat.
I
mean, it wasn't even close. But 8 or 9, I forget the exact number, in the House lost of this faction. The I don't know what to call them.
Yeah, they're just like they're just broken off, aren't they? The ones or is it,
they're angry.
Is that the fraction that said you had to pay $100,000 fine if you
if you weren't the endorsed candidate,
yeah,
you ran.
Yeah.
You know another one?
I mean, you can't do that, of course.
You know, I think everybody would agree we don't want pornographic books that are totally inimportant in libraries. You know what they wanted in that bill and they wouldn't compromise? Librarians will go to jail. Come on. That's not the way to fix the problem.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how they roll.
Yeah,
and now then they censor the governor because he vetoed the bill when he's a lawyer saying, look, this is not going to stand up. We can't put librarians in jail.
Yeah. Do you know the outrage from both sides of the aisle? It would be over the top if small town...
Sally librarian.
Sally, with her hair in a bun and her cute little glasses on. And next thing you know, she's in handcuffs going to jail because of a book. Come on.
That's
just a little over the top.
And people don't totally understand that issue, including the Republicans that censored the governor over it. I mean, it's just dumb. Yeah. Fix the problem. Don't do the craziness.
Yeah, I got no problem with questioning books. Hey, you know, question the books after my concern, but throwing librarians in the jail.
But the
jail isn't the answer. We have bigger fish to fry.
But the put the librarians in jail crowd in the Republican Party lost big last night.
They did.
Lost 8 or 9 incumbents in the legislature, which will be a significant reduction in those numbers, and won none of the statewide races. So I think it was a pretty good night for Republicans. The governor has a good political machine. Obviously, they just need to deploy it in Fargo.
You sound like you feel a little bit more confident being a Fargo resident.
I texted Jay last night. What did I say? It's a good night to be a West Fargo guy.
I mean, we're sitting good. Tyler Erickson, yeah, I know he's spoken at Democratic events and stuff, but I've talked to Tyler multiple times.
What was that about, do you think?
I don't know if it had to do with his years in the oil patch or what it was.
There's no Democrats that are in the oil patch.
It's oil. I had him on for 2 hours, and he's just a down-to-earth, he's a lawyer, and he's like, you know, and he's got something...
Oh, that might be
my politics.
So a lot of lawyers that are Democrats.
My politics do not play into local. Local is about public safety.
That's what you say when you're a Democrat, though.
No, I trust this dude. And then we've got Patty Stedman, and I'm not worried. We're going to be okay in West Fargo. We're going to be good.
Well, you usually are.
We got homes for sale out there, Scott.
Fastest growing.
If it all falls apart for you, we got homes in West Fargo.
Exactly.
For
right.
you and Michelle, too, Ronnie.
I heard a lot of people last night say, I might move to Horace. They should think about West Fargo instead.
Yeah, it's a high school thing with Michelle. She's a South graduate. Will never enter the city limits of West Fargo.
Oh, my God. I got to go. I got a hard break. You know these words.
Fargo's going to be okay. We'll hold them all accountable, and Michelle Timberg will lead a movement. Trust me.
There you go. All right, 237 Jay Thomas Show. Hey, Moving Team 6 is now hiring. They're looking for hardworking men and women for part-time and full-time positions, and they are a company that cares, locally owned, family-oriented company culture, where their employees are treated with respect, appreciation, and team-first atmosphere. Great opportunity for college students, veterans, or anyone looking for reliable work and job security. Unlike other companies, their employees are paid for the full workday. That means from the moment you arrive until you return from the job, not just the time you spend moving. Apply online at movingteam6.com. That's movingteamsix.com. All right, time for Lawn and Garden Radio, brought to you by Valley Landscaping, Linex Valley Truck Gear, Cars Tree Service. Wonder how busy they are. Not so much in the metro area today, but all the surrounding areas. Premium Flooring, Pro Lawn of Fargo. They've been doing my lawn for years and do an amazing job. Cheyenne Gardens, Comfort King, and a world-famous Critter Crumbs. You got problems with them critters, mice, voles, deer, you name it. Critter Crumbs does the job. And I don't have the list in front of me, all the places you can get Critter Crumbs, so I apologize. Just Google Critter Crumbs and there should be a list of, I think it's like Max and Ace and
Tractor Supply Company.
Tractor Supply Company. Yeah. I think absolutely Bob has them down there at the Lakeland General Store as well. But they're fantastic. They work, man. Absolutely work fantastic. Don Kinsler, MDSU Cass County Extension horticulturist, joins us every Wednesday. What's going on, buddy?
Well, good afternoon.
Can you play me the song, You Don't Bring Me Flowers Anymore, Ronnie? Don brought me Don brought me flowers.
Hey, I look forward to when he brings in aronia berries.
Oh, you smell like lilacs.
Yeah, don't ever, Jay, say that I don't bring you flowers.
Bring me flowers
show
anymore.
And tell on the radio. What I brought is a wisteria blossom.
Okay.
I've never traveled extensively down south, but for those of you that have... wisteria is a very prolific vine for the South. Mm-hmm. And what is neat is plant breeders over the last number of years have developed a wisteria that will grow and bloom and thrive in our area. So the wisteria that I brought, it's a vine, a woody vine. Mm-hmm. We have it growing on a trellis. Blooms beautifully this time of year and then intermittently throughout the summer. Yeah. So great for trellis, fence, etc. And this variety is called Summer Cascade. Mm-hmm. Locally owned garden centers usually stock it. And it has a kind of a lilac, it's kind of a subtle lilac type fragrance. But it gives us another vine that we can grow in our area. And they're really quite attractive.
They are good-looking
so
flower.
They have kind of a bluish, kind of a hanging type cluster of blossoms. And so, Summer Cascade Wisteria. The reason I bring that is, if you look at my email inbox, we got iron chlorosis on maples. We got blossom end rot on tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Iron chlorosis on maples. Blossom end rot on tomatoes. We got tent caterpillars attacking. You might think, my gosh, does anything ever go right in this area?
No kidding.
Our lawns are brown. So the reason I brought that is, sometimes it's fun to say, we are actually in a pretty good growing area. There's lots of good things. The peonies are blooming. Iris are blooming. And so sometimes I like to just refresh and say, things actually do grow well.
Yeah, there you go. Unless you got a new puppy that likes to eat all your flowers.
Yes.
Then you get a problem.
Yes. Have you tried the critter crumbs on your houseplants?
No, because I don't want the house smell, that strong smell. But I did on all the big potted plant or flowers outside. The dog seems to like to get into them too. I dropped critter crumbs in all those. No problems.
I bet. When you look at the ingredients,
it's pet friendly.
It's a scent type repellent.
Yeah.
It's got kind of a nice spearminty, pepperminty.
Pepper, strong peppermint.
Yeah, strong. And of course, that's one way that these repellents work is by their scent, repelling animals that way.
Yeah, Kane, I don't think he likes the peppermint smell, so he's been staying away from them. All right, got a question for Don. Lawn, garden, plants, shrubs, trees, lawns, bushes, vegetables.
Horseradish. Rhubarb.
You name it, Don can answer your question. We're only going to take Don probably till the top of the hour today because we got a lot of stuff to get to. So, if you've got a question, now is the time to call or email the show, 701-293-9000, or you can email your questions in at studio@wdayradionow.com.
Now, Jay, last week we talked about the tent caterpillars, those brownish worms that are seeming everywhere, and they feed on trees. Mm-hmm. And now the forester this morning indicated that in a couple of weeks, they're probably going to be at the end of that feeding stage. They'll go on to the next stage of their life cycle and quit bothering our trees.
All right.
A younger tree that is affected that you can reach with spray, mm-hmm. you might want to apply 7 or 8 or malathion, one of the kind of all-purpose insect sprays, to keep it from affecting your young tree. A large tree... they're usually not a problem. I know in the past, heavy cycles, they have devastated some forest areas, definitely. But this year, it doesn't look like they're doing that. But on a younger tree, definitely spray, for the next couple of weeks. They can do quite a bit of damage. Some of the tent caterpillars actually form that webbing. Mm-hmm. And I've seen photos sent to me where it's just gross. Inside this tent are all these creepy crawly caterpillars. And you can wind that nest up kind of around a stick with some nails in, mm-hmm. and you'll you'll get a lot of them once they're inside there in the evening. It's not recommended to use a blowtorch on that because blowtorch plus trees,
disaster.
But that has been a kind of a Facebook remedy, but that's not advised.
Well, then definitely don't do it if it's a Facebook remedy.
Advised.
Our trees, we've got them all over, but our trees, I'm not seeing a whole lot of
the
damage.
The devastation, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Before we get to the calls at 701-293-9000, email, first one. Don, please explain the process of deadheading petunias. Can they be trimmed if they get long and spindly?
Yeah, so they get long and spindly, definitely trim, give it some fertilizer, they'll bounce back nicely. And the new varieties of petunias, the wave types, the types that we buy to put in pots and planters, those are called self-cleaning. Mm-hmm. Basically, the old flower just kind of drops away. They're mostly sterile. They don't form the seed pod, which deadheading is meant to get rid of that, mm-hmm. so the energy doesn't go into seed production. So, because can you imagine these big petunia baskets down on Broadway trying to deadhead those?
Oh, there's no way. Yeah.
Luckily, the breeders have eliminated most of that. So petunias, straggly, yes, cut back, deadheading usually not needed.
Okay. Terry, you're up on a Jay Thomas Show. Don Kinsler.
Yeah, hey, Don. Say, got some new asparagus plants we put in. And wondering, can you put in some of this anti-grass stuff that kills the grass off? I can't think of the name right now.
Yes, the grass is actively growing.
Yeah.
Yes. And so, yes, there are three products that I'll mention. And check the label to see which can be used on asparagus. But you'll not be harvesting asparagus until, let's see, 2028 about,
yeah.
or 2029.
Yeah, a couple of years.
Yep. And so you've got time to get rid of the grass. One is Ortho Grass Be Gone.
Yep. Preen is the one I was thinking of.
Preen prevents seeds from sprouting. It won't do anything against grass that's actively growing already. So Preen is not a good grass preventer unless it's growing from grass seed. But most of yours is coming back from grass roots. So Ortho Grass Be Gone, Bonide. Yep, Bonide Grass Killer.
And Bonide Grass Killer.
Let's see. No, switch that. Bonide Grass Beater. And
Bonide
the
Grass Beater.
Yep, and the high yield,
I like that one.
High yield is called Grass Killer. And garden centers will usually have one or both or all three of those.
Okay. Somebody was telling me that they were making a grass preventer that you could use even, you know, while you were harvesting fruit or something. I don't know if it was for asparagus or strawberries or what.
Yeah, and there are crabgrass preventers, but those are for crabgrass and other weedy grasses that are coming from seed. In most cases, the grass that invades asparagus is coming from roots that are already established, such as quackgrass or bluegrass roots. And the seed-type preventers won't effectively control that.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate the phone call. 701-293-9000. NDSU Cass County Extension Horticulture's Don Kinsler, Lawn and Garden Radio. Elizabeth, you're next. Jay Thomas Show.
Yes, this is about asparagus also. I have a patch, and it seems to be mounding up, and I'm wondering, I've had the patch for quite a few years, and I'm wondering if I should dig it up. Some of the asparagus is getting pretty thin. What should I do about that?
Yeah, how long has it been?
I don't know.
How long?
I've had that patch about 15 years.
Okay, because asparagus can remain in place many, many years, and the advantage of leaving it in place, of course, is that it takes a while for it to establish and get there. But like you say, maybe it's kind of heaving out of the ground a little, and if some of the spears are just small and not large anymore, one option would be dig a part of that, maybe not the whole thing, but dig a part of that, such as maybe a fourth of that asparagus clump, and reset that. The time to do that would be in very early spring. You could probably do it in the fall after it kind of goes semi-dormant, maybe September, Labor Day, or early next spring. The time to do that generally is not in the middle of summer when it's actively growing. But I would take a portion of it rather than disturbing the whole thing. Take a portion, maybe a fourth, and reset that and start a new patch that way.
Elizabeth, appreciate the phone call. I'm going to cut you out because it is I don't know if she's got the windows down in her car, but holy smokes, man, it sounds like it's windy where she's at. Kevin, you're up with John Kinsler.
Yeah. Thanks for taking my call. Yeah. I've got some Nanking bush cherries, and last year the rabbits nailed them all the way down to the frickin' bottom, and they're starting to grow back up again. Is it too late in the season right now to pick them up and move them to the location where they keep the rabbits away from them?
The best would be when they're still dormant in early spring. That's the preferred time. You could try it. Now, if you do try it now, anytime anything is actively growing kind of in the heat of summer is a difficult time, more stressful on the plant. But if you don't mind a little bit of an increased gamble, get the new area already planted or already prepared and ready to go. Maybe even dig the hole, get that all done ahead, and then dig the Nanking cherry and move it over as quick as you can, almost, you know, pretend like it's bleeding to death because they actually kind of are, and get it moved into the new spot, put the soil around, and water it immediately. And that's your best chance of success because it's a little more risky this time of year. But if you don't mind that gamble and you don't want to wait until next spring, then I would go ahead. Since they've already been nibbled down by the rabbits.
And they've gotten about 18 inches tall right now.
Okay, super. So if you're in the mood for a little bit of a gamble, you don't mind, then follow that procedure and go for it.
Well, there's six of them there I'm going to try a gamble on.
Sounds good.
All right, Kevin, appreciate the phone call. 701-293-9000, Lawn and Garden Radio, Don Kinsler, NDSU, Cass County Extension, Horticulturist, or you can email us studio at wdayradionow.com. Email, quick question for this comes from Lynn. Quick question about thatching my lawn. Is it okay to dethatch in June or July?
Delaying until August till the heat of the summer's passed would be preferred. The window for dethatching and core aeration is middle to late May, maybe early June, and then delay until the heat of summer is done, and then middle August on. If we get another hot spell, dethatching is kind of a little tough on a lawn because it's quite aggressive. We're going to have cooler temperatures now. Would it kill the lawn if you dethatch it? Probably not. But kind of as we approach the middle of summer, it's a little more risky on things to be disrupting it like that. So it would be a judgment that you need to make. But there's a little more risk this time of year of it being kind of an aggressive situation.
Do like Kevin, take a gamble in. Just wait.
You know, again, sometimes, there's no kind of black and white life, death things on this, but there's kind of the recommendation. Recommendation is generally to avoid the high summer.
All right. Another email. I just planted a rose bush and have spied a rabbit chewing the leaves. Jay, you've talked about a rabbit preventer, but I don't remember the name. Also, should I fence around it? The name that's Critter Crumbs, I just brought it up, and to this email, I think your name is Leo. Just swing by the studios and grab a bag of Critter Crumbs. We'll give you a free bag of them. Marianne at the front desk will take care of you. And the fence thing, I'll let Don answer that
one. Yeah, fencing is always good. You know, there are situations where you can fence things the rabbits chew on. In other situations, you just can't kind of fence everything. So then repellents are a good situation to try, too. But, you know, it's interesting. Okay, we've had Nanking cherries attacked by rabbits, roses. A reason why, and they're related, they're all in the rose family. Apples, plums, cherries, are all in the rose family. They have a sweetness to the bark and leaves, and that's why rabbits and other things are attracted to them.
Tim, you're up with Don Kinsler.
I have a question on my lilac shrub. Is this the time to trim it back?
It is. By trimming back, do you mean a little light trimming or a rejuvenation where it needs to completely...
I think it's a rejuvenation. It's gotten really, really tall, and it's really woody on the inside and just kind of... It didn't blossom real good this year, so I'm thinking that it just needs a good trimming back to so it starts from fresh. So what's your recommendation?
Exactly. So again, here's the recommended time, and here's the more risky time. Okay, recommended time would be in early spring for rejuvenation before it leafs out. Cut it back to 3 to 6 inches above ground level. Then all the energy, the spring push, will go into producing vigorous new growth. Okay, so that's the preferred.
Okay.
My mother cut ours back in the middle of summer. You know, it worked out fine. Again, carries a little more risk of something going wrong when you do something drastic like that kind of in the middle of summer. But it works. Would it kill the lilac? I don't think it would kill the lilac. And so, again, a little more risky, But again, it's not a black and white life death thing. Preferred Tim, would be early spring.
Tim, appreciate the phone call. Running out of time. Lawn and Garden Radio brought to you by Valley Landscaping, Linex Valley Truck Gear, Cars Tree Service, Premium Flooring, Pro Lawn, Cheyenne Gardens, Comfort King, and Critter Crumbs. Don, how do people get a hold of you when you're not doing this?
Email donald.kinzler, K-I-N-Z-L-E-R.
All right, buddy.
At ndsu.edu. I better add the last part. Yeah, important.
I might want to add that to it. It is important.
Yes. The wisteria thing, by the way, Don, it was also, and I know this because my wife,
I believe, watched it.
Quick,
I got something I got to do.
It's Wisteria Lane from Desperate Housewives.
Oh, my God. Yeah, your wife watched it. Sure, it was your
Alex
wife.
I think Alex mentioned that this morning.
Yeah.
I was totally unaware of that.
I think she did, too.
I totally unaware of that.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you much. Thank you, everyone.
All right. When we come back, we're going to wrap up this whole Fargo election deal. We'll let you vent, get your thoughts. A couple of questions for you. Number one, do you really believe Fargo because of last night's election results has been lost to Minneapolis? Or is that a little dramatic? And number two, what did last night's election say or tell you about Fargo? Really like to get your opinions on that. 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. What did last night's election say or tell you about the city of Fargo? Your call's next, Jay Thomas Show. Oh, there you go, buddy. Yeah.
This is Led Zeppelin?
In their younger years.
Okay.
They didn't play electric piano.
Nights on Broadway, right?
That is correct.
I do like the Bee Gees.
Who is this?
The Bee Gees, man.
Get out.
You didn't. You just
no.
Wait, wait till the hook comes. Here comes the hook. Hang on, people. We gotta give Dean a little music history here. As soon as you hear the hook, you're going to know it. Come on, Barry, get to it. There we go.
Okay, I've heard the song. I didn't know this was a Bee Gees song.
Yeah, it's a Bee Gees, baby.
It doesn't sound high enough. High pitch.
Oh, at some points they'll get high.
Yeah.
All right, it's 307, enough music radio. Good Lord. Hey, if you're thinking about buying or selling your house, call our friend Dan, James Patrick Real Estate, before you sign any contracts. We've been telling you how great Dan's team is. They've been doing it for a long time. That would be selling homes.
Efficiency.
Buying homes as well, too.
Refined system.
That's right, buddy. They've closed on a ton of listings, and Dan, he charges less than most other agents. Clients love the system they've built, and so will you. Like we always say, cost you nothing, man. Go to jamespatrickrealestate.com to learn more. Yeah, and I wouldn't tell you to go there if I didn't trust them. It'll be worth your time. That's jamespatrickrealestate.com. All right, before we get into last night's elections, then we're moving on from this.
You should run for mayor. You should have ran for mayor.
Well, there were 64 write-in votes in West Fargo, mayor. We don't know who they were.
Right.
Quite sure Paul Meyer was one of them. I'm just going to get my digs on that guy, that troll. And I'll start that whole topic off with an email I got this morning from somebody's not happy. Well, there's a lot of people aren't happy, but this dude's email, I had to like cross some stuff out of the email that I cannot read on the radio.
Oh.
It's that bad, man. He's not happy.
What'd you do?
No, not me. It's about what happened in the elections last night. Dean, what happened with the weather? Let me walk you through this. So we knew this was coming.
And I said it'd be a wind event.
A big wind event.
Mm-hmm.
So get done with the election coverage, get home, and the timeline keeps getting bumped. I'm like, well, I'm not going to bed now. I got to stay up just in case there's some damage. I got to know what's going on. And waiting. I'm listening on the app because, God forbid, any of the local TV stations should have live coverage. So I've got you on the app, and you're cutting in. I'm like, I bumped it again. Okay, so
it's going late. Now
finally,
it's later.
Finally, it comes in. Yeah, we for about a good 15 minutes, I'd say, at our place, at least in West Fargo, where we have no concerns over last night's election. The wind, when it picked up, it came right now, and my trees were bending, man. I mean, I'm like, okay, here we go. We got almost nothing for rain. But, man, that wind came through. And I lost a couple small branches. Nothing, furniture, because I put all that away. But it seems like once it got to Fargo, because I'm listening to you, and it's like before it got to Fargo, I'm like, man, people are getting smacked.
Yep.
It gets to Fargo.
And bam.
And what happens? It's like, okay, it wasn't 75 mile an hour winds. I think it was right around 60 miles an hour. But then like just all the way around us, south, north, east, west,
yep.
All these people just got pounded.
Yeah.
And we got, I don't want to say nothing, but nothing near what we thought we were going to
exactly.
get.
Exactly. Well, a couple things that, and there's a lot of analysis that has to go into it. One is the heat island effect. No, I'm kidding. There's nothing done.
Well, there's got to be something because this happens all the time.
And I'll tell you where else it happened. When I worked in Omaha for a number of years, they call it the Omaha Dome. And what happens is these storms approach Omaha and bam, split around the city for whatever rhyme or reason.
And that happens here.
And some people claim it's a heat island effect. It's the contour of the valley. Mm-hmm. I'm not buying the heat island effect at all. It's not a big enough area. But the one thing that we noticed on radar was down in northeastern parts, south of Sisseton, down around, I think, Watertown area, there was a bow. That's where the bow echo or the derecho set up. And what that did is a lot of times you'll get air to rise up out of that area. And as it goes north, you get sinking air. And that's one of the thinkings that, well, we might have got that sinking air for whatever rhyme or reason right over Fargo, and bam, these storms just died out. Because even as close by as Wahpeton to Lisbon, these storms were strengthening the whole way up here.
I was listening because you keep saying they're strengthening. Yeah, like,
the
great.
The whole way up here they were strengthening. I'm thinking, all right, here we go. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, literally 10 miles south west of Fargo, these things just split apart. Now, it did concentrate into areas around Parker's Prairie in Otter Tail County. They got hit hard. Now, we're getting reports
Wasn't Sabin, didn't they get hit hard too?
Sabin hit, let me check my list here. Fargo, we hit 60, 60 mile an hour wind gusts, and Sabin had 62.
Okay.
Along with Dilworth. So they got hit pretty good too. 60, 62 mile an hour wind gusts.
Well, my trees are bending.
Yeah. But now, in Parker's Prairie, there was some silo damage. A roof got ripped off of a trailer house. So there was quite a bit, and that's where it concentrated down to our south in Otter Tail County. And again, for whatever rhyme or reason, it just died out as it got to the FM area.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I think a lot of the stuff down in South Dakota robbed the energy. And we got some downward momentum from that complex down in South Dakota, which killed the storms here.
It happens all the time.
I know. Maybe we should do a little research project on
that.
Why does this continually happen here?
I mean, I'm not complaining, but... For rain, I figured, okay, as soon as those winds kicked in, I was like, here we go.
Check your rain gauge when you get home.
It was under a tenth of an inch.
No, I mean from this afternoon.
Oh.
We had a huge rainstorm go over West Fargo.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It poured a quarter inch from the end on site, but there was the one cell was parked over West Fargo for about 15, 20 minutes.
Really? Okay. Yeah. I'll have to check that out when I get home.
Yeah. But we do have a severe thunderstorm watch east of the valley into Minnesota till 8 p.m. Now, the most of the activity is lining up from about War Road through Fauston. There's also another band from Crookston up through Thief River. Some of those storms are severe with a little bit of hail with it, but those will be moving northeast. We're not expecting any severe weather here in Fargo or Moorhead, but areas up around Thief River, you're still under the gun here for the next couple of hours before that moves through. We do have a couple of lines of showers and storms that could redevelop. The cold front has moved through the FM area. You could tell with those winds whipping out of the west
right
now.
What is up with that, man?
Yeah, and it will continue with the windy conditions through sunset, and then we could see a few more of those thunder showers pivot in from the southwest for the FM area, but all the severe stuff is going to remain from about Thief River northward up through southern Canada. And again, that will even start diminishing over the next couple of hours.
There's emails. This question for Dean: why has this wind been so insane this entire spring? Since the winter thaw, we have had like two nice days where the wind has been below 20 miles an hour. Dean, what is causing this?
Couple of reasons. We've had a persistent trough out to the west. That's why we've been so warm. Mm-hmm. We've been really warm for the month of June.
Yeah.
And even in May, we saw with the trough out to the west, we continually get these stronger storm systems that go through southwestern Canada, and a lot of wind with these. You know, we're usually on the warm side of it, and then when those storm systems whip by, bam, we get in on the west side of it. So, a lot of it has to do with the troughiness or the storminess that's been persistent for a while now out in the Pacific Northwest, Northern Rockies, and Southern Canada.
So, rest of the afternoon here in the metro, are we getting sunshine or?
A little bit. Again, we'll still have a few more showers and thundershowers pivot in from the southwest. But other than that, I mean, severe weather, we don't have to worry about here in the FM area, but just Thief River North.
How about our listeners out there in central western North Dakota?
They are looking at cool conditions and windy. Man, is it windy out around Watford, Tioga. They're going to have wind gusts up to about 50. And not storm related. These are just
you know, wind.
Yeah, just wind. And they'll have some more showers and thundershowers come through tonight, non-severe. And they'll be in the 60s as we head into the weekend with windy conditions. It's going to feel like fall out in the western part of the state as we head into the weekend.
So what part of the LRC is this? What was this in the wintertime?
This was, let's see, and Gary just sent out an email about this back in October. This was the same pattern that hit us in October. And then, again, 75 days after that. And then I think we're in cycle four right now. One thing Gary did say, he said, if you get a chance to explain to your listeners, and we're trying to figure this out, for whatever rhyme or reason this summer, from the Dakotas down to Arkansas, that corridor, for whatever rhyme or reason, the LRC has been quite a bit. It's been off. And Gary is scratching his head saying the rest of the country is fine. Why is this corridor from the Dakotas down to Arkansas so far off base? And so he plugged some new algorithms into the LRC over the weekend. He's going to see how that changes things. But it has been. I mentioned to him, I'm like, wait, we're off like by more than a week. I mean, this isn't normal. So he's trying to figure out why. You know, doing a little more research on that.
All right, rest of the forecast, we start cooling down on.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, that's still some scattered showers and thunder showers this evening. If you have outdoor plans, go ahead. Most of us are going to be on the drier side. Temperatures cooling off overnight into the mid-50s. Free air conditioning from Mother Nature. Yep. Breezy conditions out of the west. And then back into the 70s tomorrow. We'll probably have some pop-up showers in the afternoon. Nothing severe, but just hit-and-miss showers in the afternoon. And then Friday, maybe a leftover shower, but Friday, Saturday, Sunday look mainly dry.
I got a film Friday down by Lidgerwood.
You should be all right. You should be all right. And temperatures in the 70s Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Wind?
Breezy, 10 to 25.
Oh, okay.
10 to 25. And then early next week, we'll introduce chance of rain Monday and Tuesday with temperatures remaining in the 70s. I don't see any warm-up until possibly towards the end of next week.
Wow. All right. So, nice break from
little
the
break from the heat and humidity. Right. Man, was it humid yesterday.
Oh, yeah. She was
That's another thing that surprised me. It was the atmosphere was so unstable. It was so hot and humid. If those storms would have came through, if that line would have came through at peak heating, we would have been toast. We would have gotten hammered. But being it came a little later at night and a lot of the energy got sucked south, what are you going to do?
It happens all the time here.
I know.
It's nuts, man.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Dino.
You got it.
All right, it's 18 minutes after 3 o'clock, Jay Thomas Show, 701-293-9000. So before we got to the top of the hour break, I had a couple questions for you. This is your chance to weigh in. I'd like to get your take on it. So we're hearing from a lot of people, social media, other talk shows, that Fargo has now been, because of the results of the race last night, who got into seats in Fargo, that that Fargo has been lost to Minneapolis. I'm not there yet. I'm just not. I mean, are we getting closer? I think we are, but I'm not. I can't get there yet, Ronnie.
Okay.
So that's one of my questions. Maybe you feel differently. And my next question is, I want to know, what did last night's election say or tell you about Fargo? It told me that, number one, let's talk mayoral race first, that the Democratic machine was at work. They know how to do this stuff. They wanted Josh in that seat, and they know how to go out and campaign. Look at the money they pumped into this guy. It's telling me, I stick more now, even more maybe than I did before, Ronnie, that people just are not engaged in this stuff. We had, what, just over 20,000 votes, technically, for mayor? They're just not engaged.
I thought Secretary of State said it was 29,000 and change,
which means
it would be an increase. But
it's still, look at the population size.
150, if I'm getting that right, 1,000 eligible voters on the same website, Secretary of State website, and it showed 29. I mean, it's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic.
And if you look at the numbers, if you put Michelle and Dave together, their numbers, they still they don't beat Josh. They're still short
by about a couple thousand.
Yeah. It was a couple thousand. 701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. And you know, am I going to jump to the conclusion now that Fargo, it's over for Fargo with who got elected? I'm not there. I'm a guy. Says, well, let's wait and see what happens. I really wanted Michelle in there, but you just got to wait and see what happens. It's just too soon to tell.
Well, I mean, I think, and I was kind of briefly talking to you before we went on air about this. I think it cemented one thing. Fargo is a liberal city.
Yes, it is.
There is nothing. It's just and they wanted to drive that point home last night. Mm-hmm. Now, the other things that I was aware of, I believe you already alluded to, at Josh's party, I guess I was watching television coverage and things of that last night. You saw a lot of younger campaign staffers, people that I presume
he got the young people in.
It was all
hang on callers.
I know he ran some radio spots as well, but all I saw him on was TikTok, Snapchat, anywhere that had a young voter that could be swayed.
Yep.
He was trying to get out a message to
701-293-9000. Email studio at wdayradionow.com. Your takeaway after last night, do you believe it's over? What did last night's election tell you? Again, it told me they knew when they being the Democratic Party, they pumped that much money into a mayoral race. That tells you something. That tells you that they know that they're going to get this guy in. They know how to play the game. They just know how to do it. They know how to target. They know who to target, when to target, and how to get them out to vote. And I really thought that, you know, there would have been a stronger, you know, conservative turnout at the polls, but there wasn't. All I have to do is look at the percentages. They just weren't there.
Well, and yeah, you saw, you know, and I don't know exactly how any of those campaigns work. I've never been privy, never been a part of one, anything like that. But it seemed to me, just looking at it from the outside, that Michelle ran more of a traditional kind of campaign where I'm beating the streets. I'm going out visiting with people face to face. But in today's world, you need to combine that with the technology apparatus, and I don't know how much of that they did. Maybe they did more than I thought.
701-293-9000, email studio at wdayradionow.com. Let me read you this email. I got this morning, and I got emails here to get to, too, and we'd love to get your phone call, 701-293-9000. What did last night's election say or tell you about Fargo? So now you have a... You have a mayor, and I had to cross a bunch of stuff out of there because I can't. I cannot read that on the air. You also have more shots fired in downtown. And to think during those flood fight years, we had a great leader in Dennis Wallaker. With the Twin Cities not safe, I guess that leaves us with Winnipeg and 30% off everything with the currency exchange rate. I am an hour and a half away and we'll be staying away from Fargo as much as possible. Turnberg is right. Fargo is becoming Minneapolis. So sorry for all of you. Criminals figured out all you have to do is flee in your vehicle and you get away. To hell with anyone just going through a green light and getting T-boned. I never thought it would come to this in Fargo. I worked in the 1980 census, and everyone was so happy when Fargo itself made it to 60,000 residents. So here's another person that thinks that the city is it's gone. It's gone. I'm not there. I'm a person say, let's sit back, see what happens.
Well, in today's world as well, you know, I passed through Winnipeg several months ago. I've heard about some things. If you think Winnipeg is a bastion of safety, not so much.
Not good. I've
never
been.
Things going on there, too. So
another email. Last night, Jay, Josh and Nikki won their races and Fargo lost. I hate what has become of the once great city in which I was born and raised. This was our last best chance to steer the ship away from the oncoming iceberg, and we blew it. Well, who blew it? Who blew it? Was it the voters that blew it? Who blew it?
Mm-hmm.
If you live in Fargo and didn't vote last night, I never want to hear or see you complain ever again. Another email. Holy crap, guys. Even if Pepcorn and Turnberg combined their votes, they were still about 2,350 votes shy from even tying Josh Boucher. Well, Fargo, it's going to be... I won't use the rest of that. Just says basically enjoy the horizon now. So man, there's it's a lot of people not feeling good. But again, when you look, yes, the turnout was bigger than it usually has been for a primer. People, I just don't think they're gauging. And I'm really starting to believe. Remember when Sirleaf was in here and he said, I'm going out talking to people. And they don't even know who the mayor of Fargo is. I'm like, oh, come on. Small town. And he said, I'm telling you, I Uber. That's what I do. I Uber and I talk to all kinds of different walks of life. And he said, I'm telling you, a majority of these people do not know who the mayor is.
Well,
I'm starting to believe that. I think that many people are just disengaged and just they're not paying attention or care what's going on. They're just going about their daily lives. I'm really believing that more and more.
Well, and I would counter that with some of those same people more than likely were voters for Josh Boucher last night, who said at the time they didn't know who the mayor of Fargo was.
701-293-9000. Email studio@wdayradionow.com. Light them up when we come back. So last hurrah. If you want to weigh in on this, I'd love to hear from you. I'm saying it's over. Give it a chance, but disappointing, that's for sure.
Well, and I'll tell you how much of a wonk I listened to his entire acceptance speech, and there were some things that concerned me.
Okay. Well, yeah, so. Other people were saying that as well. All right, what does this mean for Fargo or tell you about Fargo after the results from last night? 701-293-9000, Jay Thomas Show. I say just see what happens. See what happens. Jay Thomas Show, 337. That's a custom truck and auto shine time check. You'll find them at 3401 4th Avenue South, Fargo, one block south of Swanston Equipment. Custom Truck and Auto Shine offers a wide range of services, more than just a truck wash, auto body shop, auto detailing, mobile wash services, semi-truck detailing, specialty and add-on services like Rhino Lightings, bed liners, custom installs and accessories, and of course, again, that fleet washing. Custom Truck and Auto Shine. 701-293-9000, email studio@wdayradionow.com. Recapping last night's election. I know people are burnt. I think most people are burnt. They said, you know what? It's over. And it is. I mean, you didn't like the results.
Till the midterms.
Whatever. You didn't like the results. Well, you know, if you went out and voted, kudos to you. But when you look at these numbers, and the numbers were, there were 21,610 vote total for the mayor. Now it's going to be more for the commission race because you're voting for more than one.
Yeah, you set me straight as to, so I was looking at the commission race. Yeah,
and from what I'm being told, looking at the numbers, that's around 2,000 votes less than the 2022 mayoral election. That's pathetic.
Yeah.
So that just tells me that people were checked out, or they just weren't following, or that people just don't feel their vote counts, or they're not paying attention to what's going on, you know, or they've just, I don't got time. It doesn't matter. And I'm not, you should go out and vote.
Yeah. And I mean, was it initially disappointing, disheartening, all that kind of stuff to see the separation? Because I thought the vote would be closer. Of course. Now, looking at it more in a better lens, I think today, I am, and I know some people probably aren't, but I am willing to give Mayor-elect Josh Boucher a shot.
Yeah.
But I
keep
will
an
also
eye on it.
Yeah, I was going to say, but I will also say, if there are things I do not agree with, and I'm sure as you did with Mayor Mahoney, you will call them out.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. 701-293-9000. And again, I think people are checked out. And it's like, you know, and again, what are you going to do? The election is over. You got to wait for the next election. Be vocal on stuff and keep an eye on what's going on. But I'll say it again, and you know, there's probably many that don't agree with me on this. I don't think that Fargo is Minneapolis. Are we kind of moving in that direction? Yeah, I believe we are, but I don't think it's lost. But you got to keep an eye. You got to hold these people's feet to the fire. That's how you can call them out when you feel something's wrong.
Yeah, and I don't know.
That's everybody that's elected.
Yeah, I mean, maybe people read it differently than I did, but in listening to the acceptance speech, I believe that's what we're calling it, I heard a lot about social programs, affordable housing, homelessness. I heard one blurb about street driving or, you know, reckless driving.
And we're going to talk about that, too.
A lot of the other things. I mean, it was things basically that you have heard in cities like Minneapolis, Seattle, New York. I heard some things that were alluding to other things, not the least of which I wasn't really concerned were the major issues in Fargo, and it has me concerned.
Well, you're a Fargo resident. If you're concerned, you keep an eye on it. West Fargo, I know your residents in West Fargo, I've got no concerns out there whatsoever for who got the commission seats and who got the... Who got the mayor? I mean, we didn't have a choice on the mayor thing. There's only one person that ran. But when it comes to the commission seats, now, you know, Dave Withy had him in here, and he's a guy that's, he's really keeps an eye on finances. With him not getting elected, he's still going to keep an eye on that. He's still going to hold the West Fargo commission's feet, the mayor. He's going to hold their feet over the fire. He goes to those meetings. He looks at those books. He calls them out. So you still have him looking, you know, close at everything, but I think West Fargo, I think we're going to be just fine. And again, Fargo, you just have to see what happens here. 701-293-9000. And again, I think you're all tired and checked out on all this and want to move on. And like I said, if you don't get your digs in now, then we're done with this today, or your thoughts in on it, because we got to move on from this. The mayor's in position, the commissioners are in position, you got to take it from there.
Well, and there were some other races, too. I mean, I believe, also had Chris Olson on, who competed against Jill Kringsted for
the Public Service Commission.
And I think there was a large drive, specifically from the central and western part of the state. I mean, I know we all do things about landowners' rights, concerns there.
Sure.
I think a lot of that, because Chris is a landowner himself and worked in the coal industry.
I like Chris, yeah.
He shared or embodied a lot of those residents' concerns.
Yeah.
And it was competitive for him for quite a while.
All right. Phones are quiet. I'm not surprised, because this has been talked about all day on across our stations. And I know people are burnt out on it, but I just wanted to bring it up. So if you want to weigh in, you can. Emails are rolling in, though. Hey, guys, Ronnie's correct. Boshi's coverage over numerous social media platforms easily outperformed the handful of candidates that only used Facebook. Facebook is a dying platform with declining reach. There are over 100 different platforms, 20 being comparable to Facebook or X, used by millennials. And Gen Z at a greater level with further reach. Well, let me correct a couple things there. Facebook isn't so much dying, but the young folks that you want to reach to get out and vote, they're not on Facebook anymore.
The audience is changing.
They're gone. Yeah. Facebook is more now for people our age. That it really is. It's just not. Young people have left Facebook a long time ago, and it's TikTok and Instagram and all these other ones. But you are right in saying, look, you know, Boshi's coverage, and they were over numerous social media platforms, and they know how to use them.
They
know exactly how to target, who to target, and how to target them, how to find these people and get them out to vote. The time and effort required to run a page, create content, communicate with followers, etc., is incredibly overwhelming. Having the right people running the right pages would definitely cost a lot of money because not everyone wants to do it for free. That great points in that email. Another email. Jay, a couple points. First, everyone saying Fargo is doomed is overreacting to the election. Give it a few weeks and they will mostly settle down. And I'm with you on that one. We'll see. We'll see what happens in the first, you know, month or so, or weeks, I should say. Second, up to this election, the city races have been nonpartisan. The Democrats changed that with Josh. I think the mayor now being a full-time position might have had something to do with that. Lastly, Josh and the Democrats ran a textbook marketing campaign for this election. They looked at the numbers and decided all they needed was about 10,000 votes, which is pretty small considering the size of Fargo. This person's dead on the money. They then selected a target demographic where they felt they could secure those votes and directed a digital marketing campaign that targeted that demographic, and it worked. This proved to be much more effective than the traditional approach used by other candidates. This dude, I don't know if he's got inside information or what, but man, he is right on the money. What happened yesterday was that Fargo graduated from small-town nonpartisan politics into big city party-driven politics. Conservatives are not down and out. It's just the left did it first, and you will see future elections to be more party-driven affairs. I think you're right on the money. They wanted that seat. They know how to play it. I've said it for years on this program. The Democrats know how to get these people out to vote. They know how to use these platforms. You know where they learned it from? Barack Obama. Remember?
Well,
used Twitter. He's like one of the first presidents to get out there, and he used social media.
Well, true, but his big message to all the that brought all these young people in was hope and change.
Exactly. And how did he do that? He did it with social media.
Yeah.
You got to get out of the old. It's just not the same anymore. I'm not saying you don't knock on doors still. You do that. But you've got to get on these platforms. You've got to get people in your campaign or from your party that know how to target, or what do they call that, geofencing or whatever.
Correct.
They know how
yes.
to target these people.
Yeah.
And they're right. They ran the numbers and figured, okay, we need 10,000 votes to win this. How do we get 10,000? Well, we got the money to do the social media push, to do the door knocking, they did their homework is what they did. They out-homeworked everybody else.
Yeah,
I'm not holding that against them. That's doing your job.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. It was the apparatus mm-hmm. and the party and yep. the financial support, because you're right. People who know how to properly do that do not do that for free.
No, and I'm not gonna take that away from that party. I'm not, but this is now Fargo is partisan. It is partisan.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the same, and you're right. Especially now, it's a full time mayor job. It's going to be different from this moment on.
Mm-hmm.
Another email, smokes, man. These emails are rolling in. Like some phones are quiet, so if you call now, you'll get right through. But the emails are pouring in here. Jay, I have a family friend who owned their business there in Minneapolis for 43 years. He told me every election people want offices. They knew what wasn't good for Minneapolis, but he had a aw shucks attitude. Next election, it will get better. When the George Floyd riots hit Minneapolis, their business burnt down and their insurance company did not cover it due to a riot. These elected officials took apart Minneapolis one election after another, one brick after another, until they have what they have today. These liberals work on dismantling conservative values brick by brick, election after election, and this is just the beginning, according to my friend who lives in Minneapolis. Jay, Fargo, another one, is about to get buffaloed because when the time came to step up, there was nothing but crickets. I'm not kind of understanding that one. I'm thinking that one means that the businesses didn't step up and vote. I don't know. Explain that one a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, either that or, you know, the time you had a real opportunity to make a change to swing it back to fire, police, mm-hmm. public safety.
That's what Michelle wanted.
Budgets, and people just didn't, you know. And I, again, the part that disappoints me is we knew exactly how Josh and his supporters were going to conduct the race, but we didn't take an opportunity to do it in a similar manner.
No, exactly.
It was just like, you know, I'm going to beat the street, knock on doors, I'm going to talk face-to-face, because people care about the issues. Well, they do.
They do, but they care. The message has got to get to them in a different way. All right, we got a bunch of calls now to get to. Hey, Jim, I'm going to grab you first, because I'm interested in what you got regarding Fargo and West Fargo, especially.
Well, aren't you happy that we live in West Fargo?
I am. I have no issues with what happened last night in West Fargo.
Me either. And I have no issues with the way the town's being run, too.
Nope.
I mean, I would, anybody coming from the outside, I mean, seriously needs to look at and say, where would I rather live, Fargo or West Fargo? Mm-hmm. You compare the two, and it's like, West Fargo, hands down.
Yeah. And did you see zoning and planning said, no, you're not building those apartments there.
Good. What a dumb idea.
I think the big thing was really? The traffic. Was the big one was that traffic concern there, without a doubt. That was the big problem.
Yeah. Well, who wants an apartment complex right next to all those residential homes, too?
Yeah,
if I was
true.
A homeowner over there, I'd be screaming.
Yeah.
There goes my property value.
You know,
hey, my thing on take on this election is, and so with a lot of these elections, is that these off, I don't know what you call it, off primary, not primary, but you're, the off the schedule elections, instead of being in November where everybody goes, everybody has a chance. No, the schools like to do them in February when it's cold.
Yep.
You know, the cities like to do it in June. Where then there's people, every time there's people out of town. People are out on vacation. They're not here this time of year. Whatever. Blah blah blah. Same in February. People are not going to go out when it's cold. They're down south. They're retired. Whatever. You know, I think it just needs to be on November. But, you know, that's the thing. They don't want maximum voter turnout. What they want is their supporters' turnout. That's it. They don't want the average person to go out there and have a vote. And I think they manipulate the system. I think it does a disservice to all the citizens in this state.
Yeah, and if we don't like the system, then work to change the system. I can't disagree with you. Jim, appreciate the phone call. I got to try to slip everybody in here. Tony, Jay Thomas Show.
I was just a longtime Fargo resident, and I just noticed that with the election last night, it is leaning more towards Minneapolis. It has been for a while. Just look at downtown.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what happened is that a lot of people have moved to West Fargo. Look at the numbers. I think West Fargo is definitely more of the conservative side.
And
that's where a lot of people have gone over. They've gotten tired of Fargo. And for some reason, the ones that are still left in Fargo didn't get out and vote enough. And that's all it comes down to.
I just think people, they really, many people don't feel their vote counts, or they just don't keep up on what's going on, or, the race was run brilliantly by Josh's campaign. You can't take that away from them.
I completely agree. Yeah. But the thing is that was a national campaign.
Yes.
People don't understand. He had national money that came in
for him.
And that was just direct donations. It doesn't count the in-kind donations. Nobody knows that.
Oh, that's
true.
But
he had actual in-kind donations and help from professionals.
You got that.
So, I mean, it was a professional campaign, the way it was done and the way he was coached to and everything else. So we'll see what happens over the next couple of years and how it pans out.
Yeah, that's all you can do. And hold people's feet to the fire. Tony, appreciate it. Craig, Jay Thomas Show.
Hey, Jay, I watch all the city commission meetings on YouTube. You can fast forward and just see the good parts. They do the same thing in Moorhead.
Mm-hmm.
And just so you know, over in Moorhead, we spent 4 months of this year arguing about being a sanctuary city and how to fight ICE.
Yeah.
On Monday, Deb White wanted to stop somebody being named to a commission because they tried to find somebody for it, and all they could find out was this white guy, and she didn't want a white male for it. her and Nicole Mattson. So this is what we're dealing with over in this fine city.
Well,
insane.
Thank goodness you got Lisa, was it Borgen over there, that finally shut down that whole ice thing and said, you know, this is a nowhere thing. There's nothing, you know, there's nothing we can do. Why are we arguing about this?
Well, good luck to you guys. It'll be fun watching them.
Craig, appreciate it. Therese, you got about 30 seconds. Go.
Okay. I think the Christians, born-again Christians, just sat on their tails and didn't vote. I might be a hypocrite for saying this, but then Bush J is not a Christian, is almost anti-Christian.
I don't know where you're getting that from.
Well, being gay.
Well, being gay. But hold on, Tree. I'm not cutting you off because you said that. I'm cutting you off because I'm out of time. We could address it on the other side. We'll address that on the other side. All right, 406. Ronnie, are you getting crazy off the air calls?
Almost always in some way, shape, or form, yeah.
Oh, my God.
And sadly, it's usually...
To the gal that called Ronnie about it, somehow you got screwed over on a contest in 2008, quit calling.
I mean,
you knew the rules of the contest. You won the contest, you had to pay the taxes on it, you knew it, so we didn't screw you over.
Well, not only but I mean, it's 2008. Like, if you had some sort of legitimate case, like, wouldn't you have sought legal counsel by now?
If they couldn't afford the taxes.
I guess not.
All right.
I don't know why.
I love this job.
I mean, maybe it's because people feel I'm very easy to talk to. Well, like, they can tell me all their problems. And
Ronnie's not your therapist.
Yes, I'm not here with glasses and a legal pad. You know, tell me about your problems. You know.
Yeah. All right. All right. Whatever. Hey, second annual Hebron and Allsager Salute to Service Community Picnic. It's coming up Thursday, June 25th, 3 to 7, Hebron Brick Supply, West Fargo. We had a blast last year when we did it. It's benefiting the North Dakota Minnesota Veterans Honor Flight. Free will donations are accepted. Helping to send our local veterans to Washington, D.C., and Honor Flight representatives will be on site. We'll have pulled pork, brats, old-fashioned hot dogs, chips, all from Allsager Meats. By the way, now open in Jamestown. I hear it's just going gangbusters out there.
Oh, yeah.
Not surprised. Beer wagon provided by Brutus Brickhouse. Thank you, Brutus. I'll need you. And also, I'll be on location 2 to 5. We'll have live music from the 60s. Guys are fantastic. Also, restored Willie's Army Jeep will be there. Vintage 1940s fire truck. And this is family-friendly atmosphere, so bring the kids, have some fun. Meet local veterans and Honor Flight volunteers. And also, raffle prizes include, how about this, an electric golf cart, a Henry rifle.
I just always think of, and it was before my time, but Chuck Connors, the rifleman, you know, the Henry rifle.
Yes.
Looks a little similar.
Great food, live music, prizes, and community fun. Bring the family. Join us Thursday, June 25th, 3 to 7 p.m. Hebron Brick Supply, West Fargo. Second annual Hebron and Allsager Salute to Service Community Picnic benefiting the North Dakota Minnesota Veterans Honor Flight. All right, callers, hang on. I'll get back to you. But first, I got to check in with my buddy, my pal, the one and only. No relation to Dick Van Dyke or Jerry Van Dyke. She probably doesn't even know who that is. Stacy Van Dyke joins us.
Sadly, no. I love Dick Van Dyke, though.
Oh, you do?
Oh, okay. Oh, Jerry Van Dyke was on Coach.
That was her. Have you ever seen the TV show Coach?
No.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
You have to go watch Coach. You will be addicted. You will be rolling on the floor. Jerry Van Dyke is the coach's assistant.
Yep.
He's hilarious, man. I mean, hilarious. It was a smash television show back, I don't know, what was that, early 90s maybe?
Sounds right, yeah. Shelley Fabres, Craig T. Nelson. Yeah.
It was funny. All right. Stace.
I want Ronnie as my therapist.
No, you don't. Trust me, you don't.
Tell me about your child.
Yeah, you do not want 494 as your therapist. Maybe a receptionist, yeah.
He'd be good at that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I could just do that David Spade bit. And this is in regards to...
Stace, what are you guys working on tonight on Valley News Live?
We're all over the place. Okay, Sydney talked to Boshe, and Ethan talked to the mayor, finally, Mahoney. So we have that on election stuff. Anna talked to Gigi's Playhouse about, did you see that video that went viral over the weekend of those, like, influencers who were saying they aborted their Down syndrome baby?
No. Oh, I didn't watch the video, but I saw, like, a headline.
Saw a post, yeah.
A post about it, yeah.
Yeah, it was horrible, and it was all over the place. So she's talking to Gigi's about that. Harrison went way up to Cavalier County, Highway 1. They're, like, tearing it up, and the people are mad. We kept getting whistleblowers, and we were like, we're going to go up there.
Why are they tearing it up? I've been on Highway 1 many times. We were up there to film.
I don't know. Harrison will tell us tonight, but the people were fired up.
Okay.
And Courtney went out to Parker's Prairie for all kinds of storm damage. A trailer got its roof ripped off, and not good.
Yeah, and some people down in Barnesville were sending me pictures earlier. I had some bent poles and stuff down here in Barnesville.
Well, it seems like parts of Grant County, too, still don't have power. So
Wow. Oh, the Highway 1 thing. Yeah, they're tearing it out to put a data center in. Okay, come on. That's a joke, people. Yeah. Don't start that rumor. Oh, Jay Thomas said they're putting a data center in there. Have more. Forget it. I'll just leave it alone. All right, what's K-Fire got tonight?
K-Fire went to the Faith Dixon trial today.
Oh, that's right. That's going on, yeah.
So they'll have a whole bigger story on that today. They did statewide voter turnout, storm damage still over there, and a cool one about a stroke patient's recovery that was, like, miraculous.
Oh, cool. Very cool. All right. All those stories more tonight. 5:30 and 6, if you listen on 970 WDAY, you'll get Valley News Live for 90 minutes. Also, you can catch them on TV channel 11 and 4. They're back on TV at 9 and 10. And for you folks listening on 1090 The Flag, or listening on your smart speaker, whatever you're listening on, out there in central western North Dakota, you can get your news on K-Fire. I believe it's channel 5 out there, if I'm not mistaken. I think it is. I don't know. All right, Stace, thanks, buddy.
Of course. Yeah, you get me for all 90 minutes tonight. So,
oh, 90 minutes of Stacey tonight. Look out, baby. Yeah,
bye,
she will need a therapist after that. All right. Thanks, Stace. Thank you. The Valley News Live Rundown brought to you by Warehouse Wonders. Quality finds at unbeatable prices. Find them on Facebook and also find them in the Industrial Park in Moorhead. Open 7 days a week, 9 to 6. So right now, Ronnie, they got a big, and listeners, big Father's Day specials going on. If you go to my Facebook page or their Facebook page, you see the video up there, and you see some of the outrageous deals. You're going to save a ton of money. You already do anyway. Because normally it's 50 to 65% off, and then you tack on these extra Father's Day deals, and it gets even better. Warehouse Wonders. Don't box store it. Warehouse Wonder it, man.
Yeah. Also featuring Bohemian-style lighting.
And appliances now, too. Matt, what's up, buddy? Jay Thomas Show.
Hey, talking about the mayoral race, and you guys mentioned how he had a youth following that propped him over quite well. If you take a look at the stats around the nation, the youth of the country, they're favoring socialism.
Yep, they are.
And I put that on the blame of the school boards and the school systems themselves. And so you hear, like, what Ronnie was saying was affordable housing and stuff to that extent. And look down what Katie Wilson is doing in Seattle, and she just built 50 new, quote-unquote, affordable housing, or for the drug. Well, the drug addicts don't have to not do drugs there. So what's going to happen? They now have a shelter over their head. They're going to have needles all over the place. It's just going to exaggerate the problem. And so I have a fear that Boshe now has the green light to just do all the socialist programs, and people just don't understand what it takes. The government takes from you to then apply to the things that they are claiming for. So when you complain about high taxes, that happens. Or when they say, hey, we want to tax the rich, well, the rich are the ones who do the providing of a service or a product. And what are they going to do with that service or the product? They're going to put it on the customer. Well,
that's
simple economics. And people just don't understand that.
It's just like years ago, the push for $15 an hour across the board minimum wage, and now there's a talk of $25 an hour so people can afford to live. Do the math. People aren't going to be, it's not going to change anything because the price of everything is going to go up because of those minimum wages, and the people that you're trying to help are not coming ahead, and the constantly going after the rich. It's like the rich are evil. A lot of them are the ones that supply the jobs,
that create jobs,
create them. And none of it makes any sense when it comes to on the Fargo level. Yeah, you got Josh, but you got a commission as well, and you just got to hope that that the commission looks at things and says, yeah, this is not going to work, and people are also going to have to for the next 4 years just make sure that you hold people's feet over the fire. That's all you can do. But we'll see what happens.
What is solving the issue, or solving the issue of raising minimum wage? Minimum wage jobs should be for teenagers. Mm-hmm. Like when you talk about the people at fast food restaurants, that should be teenage workers. That shouldn't be a full grown man or a woman. Now there are people out there like that, but you know what? I'm sorry you messed up in your earlier years to where you're working a fast food restaurant and you're struggling. There are services, there are places, charities, churches that help out with that situation. You know what you should do if you're an adult in that situation and you have kids? Tell your kids, hey, I screwed up. Don't do what I did and didn't go to school, didn't work hard. Mm-hmm. And maybe that might change the generation after you. But the increase of minimum wage, that's just going to automate more jobs.
That's what it's doing.
Put people... Yeah, it's
been doing it.
I'm worried. It's not good. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt for the time being. But you look at these Democrats who are claim to be moderates, and then all of a sudden they get into office and they're full blown socialists. Yep.
The best thing to do is just keep an eye. Just keep an eye, and like I said, hold feet over the fire. Matt, appreciate the phone call. 701-293-9000. Do we have Leah in today? It's not All Soccer Wednesday.
I don't believe so, because I thought we just did that last week.
Did we do it last week? Okay.
Yeah.
701-293-9000. And after today, we're just going to move on, and we'll just keep an eye on things.
Goose Fraba.
Unless something crazy comes up. I do have the new Fargo Police Chief, Travis Stefanowicz, in tomorrow at 3. He's going to hang out with us. Jay, why do the Dems easily bring in out-of-state money and Republicans don't seem to? They're just a well-oiled machine. They know how to politic. It's that simple. They know how to do it. I think there is an attitude, too, that you get the Republicans. They don't want to fight. They fight, but they don't trench war fight. They don't get in there and. I think they look at things too and go, this is a cakewalk. And it's not. You can't look at it like that. Everything you have to look at it is there's a possibility if we don't give it 100%, we're going to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And Michelle ran I think she ran a very good campaign, but I don't think she had the power that Josh had when it comes to the backing he had. And this is what happens. And also, messages, people are afraid that Commissioner Turnberg now is just going to basically, she's not going to fight anymore, that she's going to sit back. No, she's not. She's a fighter. She's going to sit back and still fight. She ain't going to, because she lost the race, she's not going to now just sit back and, be a warm body in that commission seat. She's going to continue to fight.
Well, and if they're referring to her initial response, I mean, you're sideswiped, basically. You're finding out on air that you're being beaten in a race that you gave your heart and soul to, walking, beating streets,
sucks,
talking the issues with people face to face and doing what used to be a traditional style campaign. But the war is waged differently.
It's a different
these
war.
Days.
You're
you got to add more tools to your tool belt.
It's just like when you're fighting an actual war. It's not fought the same way anymore. It's another email. Jay, you are 100% correct on the campaign. The non-liberals, they blew it. They did. They did. Another email regarding new mayor Josh Boshé singing that. What's that Pink Pony Club song?
Yeah, Chapel Roan, I believe, is the artist.
Says,
yeah.
Of course he's singing Pink Pony Club. Sad that people voted for him only because he is gay and hates Trump. I don't think the gay thing played a whole lot into this.
I don't think so either, to be honest with you.
Yeah, were there people that voted for him because he'd be the first gay mayor? Of course there are, but I think that was so minuscule. So minuscule. It just didn't.
But you,
I don't. I think if you took away the votes he got because he's going to be the first gay mayor, he still would have won it. It was about how they did the campaigning
and
behind the scenes.
And I think you have a fair point because I don't believe he ever made that central to any of his campaign. I mean, nothing that I heard him say about that, but. You did see the first media entity that caught live video downtown last night. They did put that in the headline, would be Fargo's first openly gay mayor. Well, box checkers are the same thing on the national level. I don't care about somebody checking boxes. I care about somebody who's going to...
Can you do the job?
Exactly.
That's it. Can you do the job? Okay, here's another longer email. Jay, Josh ran on nothing controversial, affordable housing and human rights. Those are fluff topics with no way to argue with him about it. The Republicans ran on cleaning up the city and spending. Most don't see the city as dirty, don't think the homeless situation is a big deal, and had no clue the city is in financial crisis. Are you going to vote for the guy that wants to give you more free stuff or the party that wants to take it away? The talking heads focused on the so-called division of the Republican Party. Why would you want to vote for a party that supposedly has division? The Republicans defeated themselves by focusing on internal issues while Josh and the Dems stayed noncommittal on all topics. Good points.
Yeah, I mean, and to me, that was the basically in all the social media campaign, but I guess that played to his voting electorate. All I heard was kumbaya this and progressive buzzword that and just, you know, we will this and I didn't hear anything of substance about day one. Here's what I'm going to do this. All I heard last night in the acceptance speech was we're going to work to create affordable housing.
Social.
We're going to do this
social.
For homeless.
I'm not surprised about that at all. It was all social stuff.
You know, nothing about property taxes, specials. Well, we'll see
what happens when he takes office. Jay, you can't complain if you didn't vote. Not you, Jay, but anybody out there, go to the bathroom, look in the mirror, ask yourself if you voted. If you say no, you cannot complain. Let's see, Jay. So you're saying Senator Kramer backing Michelle didn't include some Republican cash backing? I saw way more Turnberg signs out around town compared to Josh. I'm telling you right now, the Boshé campaign outmoneyed Michelle's campaign, and that's not Michelle's fault. Okay, and she did get some money from Kramer, but. I'm telling you, when you got more money, there's more things you can do. And I'll say it again, they being the Democrat Party, liberal, social, whatever you want, they know how to do this. They know how to target the right people. They figured this thing out. Jay, I saw, and he says, I saw way more Turnberg signs out around town compared to Josh. Same here. Okay. Same here. But if you want to go that route, you can't depend on signs.
Well, not only that, but I was...
saw when Trump ran, you know, the loss in 2020, saw way more Trump signs than we ever saw before.
All over, But I was...
Signs is not the whole, okay, look at all the signs, going to win.
Yeah.
I mean, does that say something? It does, but there's so much more that goes into
it. Well, and I was told by someone else when I said that to them that go downtown, it's 10-1 Boshé.
Yeah, it depends on where you're going. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Hey, Steve J. Thomas Show.
Hey, Jay.
Hey.
Say, just point of clarification. I thought John Lindgren was the first gay mayor in Fargo.
Say that again?
I thought John Lindgren was the first gay mayor of Fargo.
No, that would have been...
Not according to the Fargo Forum.
Yeah, according to the Forum and others, Josh is the first one. But again, I don't think that played into this, Steve, at minuscule.
Well, yeah.
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 But
he was the one that tried to get rid of that Ten Commandments monument downtown.
And who I remember the whole Ten Commandments, but who was it?
It was ex-mayor John Lindgren, but I thought he was the first gay mayor.
Oh no, not that I know of. No, I thought not that I know of. But all right, thanks, Steve. Appreciate it, Matt J. Thomas Show.
Actually, Lindgren established the first Pride Observance Day, but he did hide the fact that he was an atheist until after he was out of office. No one knew that.
Okay.
Well, that might have had something to do with him wanting to get rid of the Ten Commandments. Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
Correct. Correct. Okay. And I was just going to comment on the comments earlier about signs. I mean, yeah. You guys are right. Like the part of the problem is in 2026, if you're evaluating like the spend and your market saturation, you're targeting by how many signs you happen to see driving around town, you ain't getting it.
No. No.
Right?
No.
What is more effective, counting signs as you drive, or every time you open a browser, you're seeing Josh Brosset's name on your phone?
Yeah, exactly. Right? And I saw tons of that on my social media page.
Or videos. Yeah.
Right, right. It's just a whole different thing. So I think you got to evaluate things, you know, a heck of a lot differently. But it's not as though he can just wave a magic wand and implement some type of agenda. You
exactly.
Know, I think part of the problem is that people, Scott, I won't rehash it because Scott and Steve talked about it a lot earlier today. I think there's some complacency. There's a lot of assumptions made about what Fargo is and what was going to happen, because that topic that was brought up about property taxes and specials. My God, has there been an election where you haven't heard about that? What's changed?
Yeah, nothing.
Anything?
Nothing.
So that tells me that kind of messaging also isn't resonating, particularly with young people that are struggling to afford an apartment and find a good paying job.
Yeah.
So I think you gotta start tweaking the way we do things these days.
It would be interesting, and I don't know if there's any way. It'd be interesting to see what the demographics, Matt, were of who came out and voted for who, the age groups.
Well, and the part that has me concerned is the messaging and the acceptance speech on Beauchesne's side of things. I'm fine with getting affordable housing and younger homeowners, but I don't want them to get stipends, get it for free. No.
Like Matt said, though, you've got a whole council. What you got to do is you got to keep your eye on the commission and how they vote on these, ideas that come up. Thanks, Matt. Appreciate it. 427, J. Thomas Show. The late great Rick Derringer. Oh, yeah, 437. Back to the emails and the phone calls here in a second. Fix It Forward Auto Care. Boy, if you need work done on your vehicle, that's the place to go. They keep popping up all over the metro area, and there's a reason.
Mm-hmm.
The reason is they do fantastic work. They now do transmissions as well, so it's your one-stop shop. Pick up and drop off, key drop, loaner vehicles for customers, texting estimates, approval and payment, 0% financing option. And they have given, is it over 700 cars now they've given away?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Fix It Forward Auto Ministries. You can donate your car. It's a tax write-off. You get a car that's sitting around you don't need anymore. They'll go through it, fix it up, and they'll make sure it goes to somebody who needs a vehicle. Fix It Forward Auto Care, 52nd Avenue South in Fargo, West Fargo, just off 13th Avenue in front of Menards. And at the corner of University and First Avenue, North Downtown Fargo, plus newest location, South University, near the Cork and Cleaver. Fix It Forward Auto Care. Find out more online at fixitforwardautocare.com.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, I should just delete this, but I'll read it just because it's really, dude, come on. How much money did the flag at radio station give Michelle? And how much, Jay Thomas, did you give Michelle? You were all backing her all the way. Yeah, backed her all the way. I was all for her. I wanted her to be mayor. I thought she'd do an excellent job. I didn't give her a dime. And the flag, I don't know. I don't believe we donate to political parties. We got bills to pay. I didn't pay her a dime. And if I did, I'd tell you the truth. I'd say, hey, I gave her this. I didn't. I don't give money to political parties. I don't do that.
Well, not only
I gave her an endorsement.
But if you believe that were the case, I mean, all of those filings, I believe, are public.
Yeah,
you can go look it up.
Look through them. Yeah, I gave her money through some secret LLC I set up. Good Lord, dude.
Do you have your own shell corporation?
Yeah, I got a shell corporation. Jay, regarding last night's storm, the storm that wasn't knocked the power out at about 1:30 in South Fargo. Woke up only because my noise machine stopped working. I don't know what that is. Power was out for a few hours. We got a tenth of an inch of rain in our gauge. About what we got, our power was flickering for about a half hour.
Well, I know we got a little bit last night where I'm at off 40th, and we got a bit this afternoon for a brief period as well, heavy rain.
Well, I want to see what happened in West Fargo. Dean said we had something stop right over West Fargo and dump a ton of rain on us.
So
I'll check my gauge when I get home.
But the noise machine, I've got one that sounds like a river or water dripping on a rock. I have the
You know what my noise machine is? It's either the dogs or the TV. let's see. Another email. Congrats. Joe Biden wins Los Angeles' mayoral race with 81 million votes. That's funny. That's good stuff right there. Let's see. Jay, regarding the TV show Coach, the grape juice episode is by far the best ever. I don't remember that one.
See, now we have Hulu at home, so I'm gonna have to go see if they streamed it.
I've seen almost every episode. The later ones I wasn't a real fan of.
Oh, when he moved on to the Breakers,
Miami,
NFL head coach.
Yeah, those it wasn't the same. It just wasn't.
Yeah, they were always good when it was Minnesota State screaming Eagles. Yeah,
and that right there, that is my favorite, funniest coach episode when they make it to the bowl game and Luther orders the new jerseys for the bowl game, and they come back instead of the screaming Eagles, it's the screaming Beagles. That one was hilarious. So Coach was funny.
I thought it was a funny
show. If you're to list, then I ask you listeners this as we lighten up and we wind away from all this Fargo talk, especially I know you folks listening out central, western, North Dakota, eastern Montana, South Dakota, I know you've had it, but...
Fatigued.
We're all fatigued. It's over. It's done. Let's see what happens. Don't throw it all away yet. Let's see what happens. Let's just have some fun here. All right. So if I were to rate like my top... funniest television shows of all time, I gotta go coach is in there.
Where would you put it, 1 to 5?
Oh man, I don't know, because I'm thinking here, and this is for you folks too. What do you think, what for you is one of your funniest favorite, you think it was the funniest television show ever? I gotta go with probably Everybody Loves Raymond. I would put that I would put that probably as number one. Everybody Loves Raymond. It's hard to pick because Coach was funny. Everybody Loves Raymond is funny. King of Queens was hilarious too.
That is pretty good. Yeah, Kevin James. Yeah,
I watched both those early ones. WKRP in Cincinnati was hilarious, and it was so true to radio. Russ, you're up. Jay Thomas Show.
Jay, you got to remember the episode of Coach when they were going to go to a big bowl game, national game, and Coach got all nervous and twitchy. What was that Van Dyke character? What was it?
Luther.
It was Dauber.
Dauber
hypnotized. He hypnotized him. So when he said,
Snowblower. Yes.
You remember that one?
Yeah, wasn't he doing like a chicken or something?
Oh, he was just, he was, they're going to the bowl game and he would say Snowblower and he would just calm out. Then he'd say Motorcycle and he'd come out of it and he was all twitchy again. Well, they lost the game. And he was getting interviewed by Keith Jackson at the end. Yeah. I don't know if you remember this, but he was cool as a cucumber with it. He explained his loss. And as soon as Keith Jackson said that, they're going to go to some world motorcycle racing. His freaking face went all goofy.
Yeah, that
right on live TV.
That show was hilarious. It was, you know, maybe I would put that in the number one slot because I mean, for the most part, every episode was damn funny, and the cast was perfect.
Yeah. I hate to tell, I don't think I've watched a single episode of Everybody Loves Raymond. Oh. I bet I'm the only one on earth.
Really? No. As most television shows go, the first season. You know, because that's your, you know, you're working out the all the quirks and stuff in it. But once you get through most of the first season and you start getting into the next gazillion seasons, oh my God, they're funny. You've got to watch. The best one is Marie's sculpture. Oh man, Russ, if you can, if you've got a different, look it up. You want to watch? You watch that, Russ. You will be crying, especially when she unveils the sculpture she's so proud of. Oh my God! Every time that comes on, I'm crying, dude. Thanks, Russ. Watch that one. Have you seen that, Ronnie?
I've seen Everybody Loves Raymond, but I don't remember seeing that episode. I'll have to find it. Oh, you know what? Maybe I have seen that one. I'll have to look it up again.
I'm telling you, man, the Marie sculpture is by far the funniest episode of Everybody. And the way they played on it, it was hilarious. So funny. Email says, Jay, Home Improvement deserves a top pick for sure. Yeah, Home Improvement was funny. I don't think I'd put it in my top five, but it was a funny show. I'm a Tim Allen fan. Fred, Jay Thomas Show.
Yeah, from back in the 50s, Sergeant Bilko.
Okay, I've heard of that, but I don't think I've ever seen an episode.
It was, to this day, I think it's the funniest comedy show that's ever been on. It was the forerunner to F Troop and McHale's Navy.
Okay. Well, now thinking about it, if you're going back that far, I've got to pop. Honeymooners in my top five.
No.
Yeah. Honeymooners is good, but it Bilko was a lot funnier. I really think so. And if you're looking for one episode of another one. Was Mary Tyler Moore in Chuckles the Clown.
Oh, my God, that is hilarious. Chuckles the Clown. Yes, that's a good call on that one. The Honeymooners, the funniest episode of the Honeymooners would have been the Hucklebuckle Dance.
Okay.
When Ralph was going to Ralph and Ed, his neighbor.
Yep.
Was going to teach him how to dance. So you take the wife out dancing and doing the huckle. Oh my God. He puts on his old, his old Letterman sweatshirt. And they're in the kitchen dancing. And oh my God. It is so, so Jackie Gleason was hilarious, man. That guy was something else. Jay, for me, it would have to be, the TV show Frasier. I wasn't a fan of Frasier. I just never really did a whole lot for me.
I really liked it because it did have a radio component in some of it, too. One of mine also, because I was partial to that medium, was news radio.
News radio was good. Joe Rogan, I believe his first.
Yeah, Joe Rogan, Andy Dick. I mean, that cast was Phil Hartman.
Yeah, it was pretty good. That was good, too. Yeah, it was a good one. Paul, Jay Thomas Show.
Well, there's a whole lot of funny shows to pick from, but I think the two best that tie for me are Seinfeld and The Office.
Seinfeld. But see, now I got to expand my list, or I got to relook at my list here. I might have to pull King of Queens out of my list and put Seinfeld in it, because Seinfeld, you know what made Seinfeld? It was Kramer, without a doubt. The show would not be the same without Kramer.
Well, actually, all of them had their moments.
Oh, they did. The one of the funniest ones was when Kramer was smoking for like in 24 hours, he looked like he was had been smoking for like 30 years.
Eyes sunk in.
He's all ready. He says, "Look away, I'm hideous." Oh my God, that show. Yeah, that's a good call, Paul. That's a good one. Thanks, brother. Jason, Jay Thomas Show.
Jay, this was probably a little newer, but my favorite was Night Court.
I remember Night Court. Yeah, it can be. Doesn't matter what era. Yeah, Night Court. What was it? Bull was the court.
Yeah, Bull was the bailiff.
Bailiff. Yeah.
Was the Journey.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Oh, that's a good one. That is a good one. Thanks, brother. Appreciate it. Scott, Jay Thomas Show.
By far, Cheers. Come on.
Oh, I forgot about Cheers. Cheers was the Cheers with Shelley Long. After that, when What's Her Name came in, it just wasn't the same. Kirstie Alley.
No, yeah, Kirstie Alley. Yeah, no. I know Woody Harrelson was great, but the beginning ones with Coach, and then of course all the just the beginning scenes, those quick little minute before the episode showed. Or anytime George walked in, or Norm walked in, George Wentz character.
Yeah, yeah. And then what's his name that knew everything? What was that character?
Cliff Clavin,
yes. Yes, and remember, that was so popular that if you had somebody who thought they knew everything, it's, oh, okay, Cliff, let's hear it. Yeah, good call
on
that one.
Or the time that funny, Cliff went on Jeopardy and
yes!
got hosed.
Yeah. Ultimate Gnome and Lauren, Jay Thomas Show.
Yeah, I guess I always like Newhart with Larry, Daryl, and Daryl.
Oh, my God, that was a good one, too. Not my top five, but it was a funny show. Yeah, Bob Newhart.
Well, and then the season finale, I think, I mean, that still stands.
I don't remember it.
So you remember his 70s show, right, where he was the psychiatrist.
Dreaming.
Yeah.
That's right.
So he wakes up in the finale, and it turns out it was all a dream, still had Suzanne Plachet or whatever the same wife he had from the 70s show.
That's right. That is right. That was a good one. Thanks, Lauren. Appreciate it. Brad, Jay Thomas Show.
Hello?
Yeah, you're up, Brad. Go ahead.
Hey, let's see. I got to go with I Love Lucy.
I wasn't, but Alex was just watching that the other day, and the funniest I Love Lucy, I would say, was the one where they were working in the chocolate factory.
Oh yeah,
and it got out of control, and they're just trying to shovel all this chocolate candy. That's a good one, man.
Or when she was peddling the vitamin Benjamin or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's got alcohol in there, and she's getting tanked.
That's funny. That's good stuff right there, Brad. Appreciate it, Steve J. Thomas Show.
Yeah, the Carol Burnett with Mama's Family with the Siamese elephants.
Okay, no, I wasn't a big fan of that, but I will say this. The Carol Burnett show, Steve, when Tim Conway and Harvey Korman got together.
Tried to make each other break.
They could not hold a straight face. That was the best. And who was?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Harvey Korman does this routine about Siamese elephants.
Okay.
You have got to watch that. Okay. I probably watch it 10 times a year, and I still lose it.
Do you remember Tim Conway doing Dorf?
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, man.
Tim Conway was a classic. He doesn't deserve – he doesn't get the credit that he should. Oh. He doesn't the recognition. That guy was a genius.
He was, man. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it. Alex Enderlin, Jay Thomas Show.
Yeah, you're talking about funniest TV shows, and come to think about it, my thoughts. Funniest show I've ever came across or watched and still love is All in the Family.
Oh, there's a classic. Oh, my God, man. Can you imagine putting that thing on TV today? You'll never hear Hollywood say, hey, let's reboot this. Yeah, that ain't happening. That's a good call, dude. Oh, yeah, Archie Bunker. Oh, my God, that was funny. Good call. All right. How much time do I got here, Ronnie? All right, I can slip. Joan, Jay Thomas Show.
Yeah, Green Acres and Petticoat Junction.
Green Acres is the place to be.
Oh, my gosh.
Farm living.
Lisa Douglas would put on a pot of water to boil and take her tongs and go to a pot of water, pull out chicken, take a ladle and pull out gravy, and take a spoon and pull out mashed potatoes all out of the same pot of boiling water.
Yeah. All right, folks, I got to go. You know what? We'll come back to this at the start of the show tomorrow because we need this after months of all this election crap.
Yeah.
We got to get back to the old school Jay Thomas Show. Chief will be on, though, tomorrow at 3. But we'll come. I've got a slug of emails. I'm telling you, if you've never seen Everybody Loves Raymond, the You Want Marie's Sculpture episode, especially when she shows her sculpture to the nuns that come to get it for a donation. Oh, it's hilarious.
Everybody
gotta
loves
go.
Raymond.
Flag stations, you got Mark Levin, DAY, you got Valley News Live. We're back tomorrow at 2.